Bill and Carol, just right away when they came to church, just became, just basically instantly, very special to me and to Heather, and they've been just a constant source of just encouragement. And I'm so grateful that the Lord brought them to this church. And when Brother Bill first got here, he said, "Don't ask me to do anything." I'm paraphrasing, but it was about like that. And but they've just become such a great part of the family. And he used to do some Sunday school teaching at their last church, and that which we got wind of. It's a dangerous thing for the pastor to find out you're good at something. But anyway, so we asked him if he would help us with this. This is where my dad, he would teach the lesson this morning. And I'm really looking forward to it. And so, Brother Bill, thank you for being such a blessing and encouragement. And why don't you just make him feel welcome as he comes, and we'll.
Good morning, family. Elder Don, these are big shoes to fill. Doesn't he do a wonderful job? When he asked me to consider filling in for him today, he allowed me to choose the lesson. So we're going out of sequence. We're going to skip the one that was up for today, and we're going to do forgiveness. We'll be on page 67 when we get there. Striving in forgiveness. That's one of the big ones in the life of a Christian, isn't it? To deal with an issue that requires it, we have to make a choice to forgive or to not forgive, to try to go away and forget it, or try to bury it, or give God the victory. And allow our enemy, or allow our enemy to have a win, to leave this world with a clean slate, or step into eternity with a bag of rocks. I have a few experiences I wanted to share this morning. Going to a person to ask him forgiveness is that can be a dicey thing to do, because you're in a very vulnerable position. You risk rejection, and. I dare say that's one reason that we're not more aggressive soul winners. We should be that fear of rejection. So we know why we put ourselves through it. We know the need to forgive. We'll see what's in today's lesson. We want to be Christ-like as possible. And forgiveness is a piece of that. Elder Don cautioned me. He said, "Y'all have an expectation." And I said, "Yeah, make sure that I quit by 10:15. And he said, "No." He said, "That wasn't it." He made the mistake once of running out of time, leaving some blanks in the lesson unfilled. And some of you really let him know about it. So I have two goals this morning. One is to leave no blanks unfilled and to end a little before 10:15, if we can do that. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, Lord, you bless us so richly. Lord, we are so undeserving, Lord, for the wonderful way that you pour out your goodness to us, that we don't earn, that we don't deserve. Lord, we're so grateful that we're yours and you're ours. Lord, we thank you for the time that you allowed Pastor Josh and Nate to get away. Lord, pray for safety and wellness for Elder Don and Kathy. Lord, help us see ourselves in what you have for us today. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Yeah. Well, the scripture is on page 67. I want to start with just a couple of verses prior to that. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jesus saith unto him, we've heard this how many times? "I say unto thee, until seven times, but I say unto thee, not until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Look at that, and let's read the verses then. Will you stand for this reading, please? Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after they had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Few words stand out there, that last verse. And let's look at the overview. One of the most important lessons Jesus would leave with his disciples was the lesson of forgiveness. It's the one act we're all required to perform as Christians. Not all of Christ's followers will preach a sermon, travel as a missionary, or suffer persecution at the hands of human government, but all Christians seeking to strive together for Christ are given the opportunity to extend forgiveness. All Christians are given the opportunity, and all Christians are required to extend forgiveness. That doesn't allow a lot of wiggle room, does it? But if we do it right, and if it's God's work, we leave the outcome of it is in His hands. And we're freed up from that sack of rocks that we're burdened with. Our first scripture is Matthew 18:21. I don't know if that one made it or not. Did it? That's fine. But it's right there in your quarterly. This is a pretty familiar verse, isn't it? You know Jesus' answer to Peter in the verse that followed. Not just 7 times, but 70 times 7. Do you have it into you to go to a person 490 times and beg forgiveness? If your name isn't preceded by saint, probably not. It's not on your birth certificate anyway. I doubt if impulsive old Peter could have either. I'm pretty sure God would lay on your heart how many overtures you're required to make. Sorry, I could have asked you to sit. But God will lay on our heart how many times we should make that overture. We're to either succeed or to give up. There's an old adage out there about something about beating a dead horse. And there would come a time, if you have really tried genuinely, maybe not. We'll get there. Okay, last week we learned about the importance of striving together in unity. A spirit of unity requires a spirit of forgiveness. Jesus painted a very clear picture of the nature of forgiveness, how to offer it, how to receive it. First of all, the participants in forgiveness. Great. Okay. Jesus said, we could expect to be wronged in this life. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He said, we can expect to be wronged. I wonder how many times some of us have been wronged. And how we respond to what happens is the important thing. Don't ignore it or allow a spirit of bitterness to develop over it. And that's what sure can happen. And I'll talk about some of that later. Seek restoration. God's methods always work better than man's methods. And who's going to be in control? Do I really want to allow him to have that victory, or am I going to buckle down and not allow God to do what he wants to do through us? Matthew 18:15-16. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Be prayed up and know what you're doing. I don't know if you've seen that before or if it's ever happened to you. All three of you better be pretty clean vessels if that's what you intend to do. Know that you know. Make sure you bathe it in prayer. There's the one who has sinned. Sometimes we've been offended. Sometimes it's hard to admit it that we were the offender. What part did I play in it? Because of our human nature, eventually, inevitably, we're going to wrong someone else. It will probably happen. An illustration here, a Sunday school teacher, I think maybe Don shared this one time. A Sunday school teacher just concluded her lesson and wanted to make sure she'd made her point. She said, "Can anyone tell me what you must do before you can obtain forgiveness of sin?" There was a short pause, and then a small boy spoke up. "You have to sin," he said. Matthew 5:23-24. "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Heard this preached before, just before Lord's Supper, and that's a pretty sobering thought. What am I doing here? Taking the fruit and the bread and still holding that grudge against someone. Verse 24, reconcile, means to bring back together, to restore. This is always God's plan. And there is an omniscient Lord. Be careful, there's going to be a spelling test at the end here. Okay. I suspect that if the king in the parable had been standing nearby when that second servant sought forgiveness of the first, that first servant would have probably readily extended it. He would have granted forgiveness right away, but he wasn't nearby. The reason we can forgive others, the reason we must forgive others, is that he has forgiven us. Ephesians 4:32. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." The debt the servant was asked to forgive was far less than the debt the king had already forgiven. The debt that you and I are asked to forgive is far less than the debt we've been forgiven and will be forgiven. I'm reminded of a praise course that begins, "He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away." Have you heard that before? Okay. We come to 1970, so that you don't struggle with the math. I'm 77. I was born again in 1969, and I'd only been a believer a few months before this occurred. That's our backyard, being a believer for a relatively short time, I really wanted to do it right. I thought, we've got to get this thing down. And I already knew this verse about turning the other cheek. Here's what unfolded. The county paved 17th Avenue. It had always been a gravel road. And too late, our neighbors realized that that new pavement shortened the front of their property by 9 feet. And it was the county's mistake. So the two neighbors directly behind us hired a surveyor to stake out the depth of their property and learned about that 9 feet they were short. And they felt they should be able to move their backyard into ours by that figure. Now, 9 feet. 9 feet isn't much when you live on acreage. But if you live on a city lot, 9 feet extends that much into your yard. And, of course, that'd be that much less for me to mow. But their beef was with the county and not ours. But that was what they chose to do, was to come after us. So I sought counsel from my pastor and another church staff person, our education director at the time. We talked and we prayed. And I went away with the understanding that if I knew the property was mine, that the right thing for a Christian to do first was to try to compromise. And tried that. These guys wouldn't listen. That turning the other cheek, I guess it needs to be kept in context. That I should go ahead and do what had to be done to retain what was ours. Boy, I tried. I really did. The compromise route didn't work. They sued us. We ended up in court, and the final result, that the property line would not be moved. It was ours. We got to keep the 9 feet. And that was only the beginning, because for nearly 3 months after that, these two neighbors installed floodlights on the back of their house aimed directly at our house. They had to spend a lot of time watching us, because our coming and going, because we were often lit up, especially when we turned out our bedroom light at the end of the day. And I'm leaving a lot of detail out of this, but I found myself once more in my pastor's office. I knew what I needed to do, but I thought I'm going to have to seek some wise counsel again. So with the assurance that they were going to pray and they would be in prayer, he and that other staff person encouraged me to try to make things right, to go ask them to forgive me. And I prayed about it. I didn't really want to. But one evening, I went to each of their homes, and I said to each of these guys, I said we've been through a lot these past months, and I built up far too much resentment toward you guys. And I let them know I was genuinely sorry about the way I felt toward them, and that this whole thing was in the way of my growing as a Christian. I wanted to make sure they heard that. Could you find it in your heart to forgive me? In each case, these guys said yes. The one who was a practicing believer, he asked me to forgive him, that he was sorry that he hadn't been the first one to take the initiative. The lights came down the next day. We were able to have unrestrained talks over the backyard fence after that. The forgiveness was complete. We talked many times after that, and all was good. So Jesus won, Satan zero. Let's go to part two, the principles of forgiveness. There is a proper order. Letter A, forgiveness is preceded by repentance. Once repentance has occurred, forgiveness is required. Am I really sorry, or do I have it all justified in my mind? Boy, that's such an easy thing to do. Luke 17:3 says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. You ever felt the need to rebuke a Christian brother or sister? I'm not that perfect yet. To go to someone and, in essence, chastise them for something they're doing. I better go with one or two or three other people. Letter B, forgiveness sometimes requires repeating. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And that's an easy say, hard do, isn't it?
Yeah.
This goes against our human nature and the way we think about things. Human nature says, it's about me first, how I feel about it. But letter C, forgiveness is permanent. There's no time limit. You got to like that part. Done and done. Book closed. We may not be able mentally to forget someone's sin against us, but we can behave as if we have forgotten. We might never forget it, but at some point, we need to stop beating up on ourselves over it. And I think that believers tend to do that. We have that tendency. And Jesus forgave us not just because we earned it, but because he earned it. There it is again. Matthew 10:8 says, freely you have received, freely give. Aren't you glad God chooses to not look through the blood? Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You seeing a pattern here? Jesus was our ultimate answer, our ultimate example in not seeking vengeance. He didn't pour down fire and brimstone when he breathed his final breath. 1 Peter 2:23, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. I may want a piece of flesh till I stop and think, what if the shoe were on the other foot? And this story, a little boy was sitting on a park bench in obvious pain. A man walking by asked him what was wrong. The young boy said, I'm sitting on a bumblebee. The man urgently asked, then why don't you get up? The boy replied, because I figure I'm hurting him more than he's hurting me. And there's an old saw, cutting off one's nose to save face. Letter F, forgiveness prevents bitterness. Bitterness destroys the container that holds it. Bitterness destroys the container that holds it. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. It can so rapidly turn into bitterness. Here's a quote, author unknown. Bitterness is the poison we swallow in our effort to harm the one who wronged us. Bitterness is the poison we swallow in our effort to harm the one who wronged us. Go back to 1980. Returning from vacation in California in June of that year, we were hit head-on by a drunk driver. We were out there on the highway over a half hour before the ambulances arrived to take us. And that is a 78 Oldsmobile. It was... we were rushed to Truckee, to a hospital there. But at that hospital, my son and I were put back on an ambulance and taken to a medical center in Reno. Neither of us had regained consciousness due to our head injuries. So we were separated by 45 miles. These injuries, our daughter Shelley had a broken thumb on her right hand and a sprained wrist on her left hand and a cut under her right eye. She was in the hospital overnight and released. Her uncle and aunt took her home with them until Carol and I were released. Our son Willie had a broken femur on his right leg and a blow to the head that left him in a coma for 5 days. I'm glad I didn't know about anything about comas, because each day that a person is in a coma, the odds escalate that they won't get better. By the end of 5 days, he was coming around. It took as many days for him to get clear-headed and his old self again. That leg was put in a splint and traction for 4 weeks. So he was in the hospital 4 weeks. He couldn't be moved until the cast was put on, that body cast. At the end of that month, he was released and we flew home. And he was in that body cast for 6 weeks that summer, getting that thing healed up. Carol had two broken wrists, a broken jaw in two places, a broken collarbone, three broken ribs, collapsed lung, a bruised heart. Her wrists were set and her jaw wired about a week after the accident. She was released after 2 weeks. I was in shock, unconscious, until the next day. Three broken ribs, broken socket around the left eye. I can pick up FM stations now. They put it together with staples. I was hospitalized 8 days before I was released. So Shelley overnight, Willie a month, me 8 days, Carol 2 weeks. The guy that hit us, he sustained two broken legs, and he was placed in a halfway house. And because of prior convictions, when he got out of there, he was sentenced to 1 year in jail after his legs healed. Of course, he was uninsured. Will was in the body cast pretty much the remainder of the summer and then began the physical therapy to regain the use of that leg. To unfreeze that knee necessitated a couple of weeks that really took a toll on him and on us. Each day he'd spend 20 minutes in a warm whirlpool pool bath, and then the therapist had to push and bend his leg to get it, because it was frozen this way, and each time we went through this. The pain was unbearable because he shouted and screamed in agony, and I couldn't stand it either. We dreaded going each day, and we knew we had to. It grew worse for a while before it got better. When we got home after one of those sessions, after physical therapy, I was a beaten man. I was lower in spirit than I think I'd ever been in my life. Had I had the means and the opportunity, I think I would have done something unthinkable to Fred Strite. That's embarrassing to admit, that somewhere in us, in me, is that dark a place that could potentially ever come up. Well, before going in the house, I went across the street to the mailbox, and among the mail was this letter from Jailbird Fred, he expressed his deep remorse. He told us he'd been won to Christ at that halfway house, and he asked if we could find it in our hearts to forgive him. You can't begin to know the overwhelming release that letter brought. I sat down that night and wrote to him and told him we forgave him unconditionally. Just a couple hours earlier, I would have done great hurt to that man who did what he did to my family. And I couldn't wait to forgive him. God's perfect timing. We wrote letters back and forth after that, and the following summer, we made a point to visit him in jail while we were on vacation, and we were allowed to see him face-to-face in the same room, shake his hand, have prayer together. Jesus 2, Satan 0. The priority of forgiveness, how important is it? Is it a priority, or is it an aggravation? Hey, someday I might, if things fall together like I want them to, someday I might be able to forgive this person. But compassion is a priority. Do I really care? Okay? Where's my heart? But God, look what they did. Okay? When we exercise compassion through forgiveness, we're being most like Him. Psalm 154:8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. There are four attributes in there, if you look at that verse, available just to us. Exclusive people, believers only. Psalm 86:5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Notice the expression, ready to forgive. This is always the default position of our God. I like that line. It's always the default position of our God, ready to forgive. Jesus exemplified this characteristic at every turn during his earthly ministry. Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So am I too proud to forgive, or am I too bitter to forgive? Look again at verse 33, back in the story. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Obedience is a priority. The simple fact is, forgiveness is a command, and obeying is a choice we make. God will never instruct us to do something that he won't enable us to do. Withholding forgiveness from other persons places us in direct disobedience to God. And he won't look the other way. He will notice it. Go to 1990 with me. These really did come in 10-year increments, almost exactly. I got a free pass in Y2K. I thought I was a little concerned when 2000 hit. Uh-oh, what's next? So the property dispute, the awful car wreck, these weren't nearly as difficult as what occurred in 1990. That's my brother Larry and me. He's 5 years older, and through our growing up years, we didn't have much in common. And that extended into our adult years. We were pretty much estranged by then. I tried for a long time to measure up, but he didn't care. Carol tells me at this point, be careful. So I'm being careful. I didn't measure up in his eyes. And I had grown enough in my faith to know that there was something I needed to do about it. I didn't want to, but you know where I went, back to those church leaders. And they helped me with a plan, but I did not have it in me. In just a few days, he and his family were going to be in town for a visit, so I had to get it together. I prayed hard. When the time was right, we brothers were alone in the family room, and I said, Larry, we need to talk. Things haven't been right between us for a long time, and I want us to clear the air. I got the words out, and I was saying, Lord, don't fail me now. He hedged, but I pressed on. We went way back to our upbringing. We took turns. It was all very civil. We covered a lot of ground, a lot of years. There were situations that just didn't ring true to me, but I didn't try to formulate a challenge to it. I thought, we've gotten this far. It's not going to do any good to try to debate. So I guess we all see things differently through our own eyes. I thought, hey, I was there, and that's not the way I remember it. But I didn't say it, and I'm sure glad I didn't. We talked a long time, and I don't think we left a stone unturned. Finally, got down to it. It seemed like we were done. And I said, Larry, can you ever forgive me? I love you, and I want us to be the best of brothers. Let's put the past to bed. I was not surprised when he said, of course I will, but you've got to forgive me too. And we embraced, and the tears flowed. That was 29 years ago. And I praise God. Our relationship ever since. Been good. Matthew 6:14-15 says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's a wake-up call, isn't it? I'm sure I would have responded had I been the old Bill, the pre-saved Bill, the unsaved one. I wouldn't have had it in me. What made the outcomes different can only be credited to the Holy Spirit that's within. If only the rest of my life reflected Christ the way that I tried to get through those things. I praise God that He's never let go. Jesus 3, Satan 0. So I got us way ahead of 10:15, didn't I? I was concerned. I was concerned about that. Let's pray. Oh, thank you, Lord, that as we make our ways through this life, you're always there in the good times and in the hard ones. And thank you for your presence, for our daily walk with you. Lord, I'm still a Christian under construction. Help us to grow in Christ. Don't leave us unchanged, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the forgiveness that we never earned or never deserved. Lord, we'd ask that you empower Pastor Farouk as he brings what you've laid on his heart this morning. Lord, so thankful for this place and these people. How we love you and praise you in Jesus' name.
All right, well, you got a little extra time now. Thank you, Brother Bill, for that. Boy, that was a blessing. Amen? All right. So, you're dismissed. We'll see you back here at 10:30. All right.